Blog Talk Radio.
Saturday, February 24th, 2018, you are listening to the PW Torch Saturday Livecast, a.k.a. The Deep Dive with Rich Van. I'm Rich Van. I'm currently holed up in a ticket office and running into Wi-Fi issues, so this may be a truncated episode. I'm going to try to get as much as we can for the events of the day to you, as well as our illustrious host, Reef, as well. So if you're interested in chatting with us, you want to give us a ring. The number is 646-721-9828. That's 646-721-9828. We've gone back to the old theme, old number. And so because of that, that makes things a little fun and a little crazy. So without any further ado, I'm going to bring on my illustrious co-host for the day, Brie. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I'm good. My day job, I am organizing a step show here at my job, so I'm at the ticket office while one of my students does the ticket taking, and I do the wrestling chat.
That always sounds like a good time. I kind of miss the old days of step shows from my alma mater, so I can imagine just how much fun you're having.
Oh, yeah. I've been here since, like, early afternoon, going through rehearsals. I'd never been to one before as an undergraduate, so it was really interesting to me to see the whole process happen. It's like a reality TV show come to life. I'm loving it, and I just wish that the Wi-Fi was a little better because I lost a good 2-3 minutes, but we adapt. So I'm really happy to have you here because February has really been, in addition to a nice look at the social issues like History Month and how WWE and other companies handle it, a good opportunity to kind of take an honest assessment at the world of wrestling and what it should be in 2018 and where we need it to be. I was glad to have you on, especially on the heels of having C.R. Reed on, because I know you're two very strong, opinionated women that have solid wrestling backgrounds and aren't afraid to mix it up with someone that differs with an opinion. So what are your thoughts on the events of the last few weeks? And really, where are you now as a wrestling fan?
Well, honestly, I'm kind of mixed with emotions regarding wrestling and how it's been in the past couple of weeks while some things have been new and fresh, kind of like the gauntlet match that we saw this past Monday on Monday Night Raw, we have kind of gotten the same old thing on SmackDown, just like the same six-woman tag matches and the same opening promos with AJ Styles and the same closing matches with either him or Randy Orton or insert player A and B on those shows. And then so on the converse of that, New Japan has been bringing it this month too. So, you know, it's kind of a range of emotions as a wrestling fan.
Now, I don't know if you had a chance to read or see online the last couple of days worth of, discussion about my colleague Bruce's article, but when it comes to the New Day, where do you fall? Do you think it is buffoonery? Do you think it's something where they're kind of in the middle? I argued it might be similar to Bamboozled, where you have three really smart, really educated men that are trying to game the system, but don't realize that their bosses are laughing at them more than with them.
Mm-hmm. I honestly don't think it's buffoonery or any form of that. I think that it is kind of playing to an audience, yes. But they are intelligent enough to know what's going on. They never back down from it, and they always show it on social media. They're just like, yes, we do recognize our characters. Yes, we do know who we are. Yes, we are three intelligent men who know what we're doing. So I don't think it really comes off of that. Even though sometimes the act can get a little stale when they're not doing anything new. I really just think the New Day are in the category of their own.
No, that's fair. That's fair. And obviously, we're talking with you guys, so make sure you give a call, 646-721-9828. Email, of course, pwtdive@gmail.com. And, you know, you could always hit me up on Twitter at @rich_fan. And Bray, if people want to get a hold of you, where can they find you on Twitter?
Everyone can find me at She's So Offbeat. That's SSSSSSBEAT.
And speaking of the doubles, what are your thoughts on Double J currently going into the Hall of Fame? I know, as someone who has an affinity for some things Tennessee, and I don't know if you take ownership of TNA writ large or the Jarrett family.
Well, I am from Nashville, and Jeff Jarrett is also from, well, he's from a suburb outside of Nashville, but he claims Nashville too. So I'm happy for my fellow Nashvillians. I think it's interesting just to see the never say never will come into play with WWE, because the way that he left was not cool, and the fact that he tried to create a competitor for them is interesting that they're letting him into the Hall of Fame. But also, these people that I just keep seeing more Hall of Famers come in and who have done things like wrong in the company or wrong against the company, and just thinking, okay, so what about China? Like, what's the excuse now? Because there is no excuse anymore. So that was all I could think about, especially with the Jarrett connection between him and her and why he left the company. So yeah, I'm somewhat happy, I'm happy, but with reservations. Yeah.
Now, where do you see Jeff fitting in? Do you think it's just kind of like a one and done with the Hall of Fame, or do you think it's something where they're going to kind of use him like they use Kurt Angle, where he's a in and out character that kind of forwards stories that benefits the McMahon family?
Well, depending on his wellness, I honestly think it's a one and done, especially with what we've been reading. With what's been going on with him in his personal life lately, I think it could just be a one and done, and I would be perfectly fine with that. If they manage to find some way to work him in as a character, that could be interesting, but I just see it as a one and done at this point.
Now, I put up on Twitter a poll of over under by November, do you think him and Dixie Carter show up on WWE TV? Do you think before, after, or never? If you were to guess,
I would guess after November, but I wouldn't guess Jeff Jarrett. I would actually guess Dixie before Jeff. I think Dixie craves that spotlight and the WWE's attention more than Jeff Jarrett does. So I think that we would see her before we saw him.
And what do you think Karen would show up? Do you think she would be maybe just showing up on his arm at the Hall of Fame? Do you think she becomes a character? Is that too awkward with Kurt?
That's an interesting one.
Yeah, because when they went to Texas, they had the JR shows, and Karen Jarrett was his special guest with Jeff for the one I saw, and she made a point of pointing out the that they had together, the Norris Bard match in TNA. Jeff made, as a gift to her, a shoot chair shot to Kurt, amongst other things, in that match. So I could only imagine how Vince could play around with that sort of caustic dynamic, since he's known already for breaking up couples on the road and all sorts of things, just to kind of like be difficult.
Oh yeah, you know he would love that, but I don't see her being on screen. I don't. I think that would be just way too personal. And even though I know there's no such personal thing to the McMahons, I don't think she would have a role. And plus, they have too many issues with not only, like, I guess, Kurt Angle and, you know, that whole thing, but also the Hardys. And the gimmick issue from last year. So I don't see her coming on screen because I don't think anything would be a work rather. I think it will all become suit and it would become really messy.
That's tough. That is really tough. I mean, trying to play all those personal issues at once, and then as much as you want to have your, you know, Vince might want to have his little jokes, that's also going to be a bridge too far as issues and personnel things, and that's just really, yeah, that's kind of rough. But I want to make sure before we get too far in, I'll take a when we come back, we're going to talk to you guys and we're going to answer the question of what is Brie watching in 2018? And you're going to be able to hear that in only a few moments here on the Deep Dive.
No matter what kind of wrestling fan you are, Ring Rust Radio is the perfect podcast for you. Every Wednesday night, Ring Rust Radio breaks down the hottest news in professional wrestling, including Raw, SmackDown, and WWE pay-per-view reviews. That isn't all, as Ring Rust Radio also delves into NXT, Lucha Underground, Ring of Honor, Impact Wrestling, and New Japan to discuss the latest happenings in every major company. Ring Rust Radio conducts interviews with the biggest stars in the wrestling business as well, including Stone Cold Steve Austin, Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, Roman Reigns, AJ Styles, Chris Jericho, Kurt Angle, and many more. If you're looking for your wrestling fix with an entertaining twist, check out Ring Rust Radio every week on Blog Talk Radio, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Deep Dive with Rich and Bree. This is, of course, Rich. We're talking about the events of the month in pro wrestling, social issues in pro wrestling, and, of course, talking to you. So make sure you hit the dial on 646-721-9828. That's 646-721-9828. For those of you used to the old number, I'm sure there's some confusion, but I'm starting to see some of the old numbers pop up as far as listeners. So be sure to get the word out. I tried to send some tweets out, but I'll try to do some more by the night's end. So, like I said, we talked about Jeff. We talked a little bit about social issues. But what are you watching outside of the WWE?
Outside of WWE, I'm always keeping track of New Japan. I've vowed to pay a little bit more attention to some of the indies. Of course, I'm a fan of Evolve and ROH, but I really want to put a spotlight to a promotion in Charlotte called PWX. PWX is putting on phenomenal shows this month, and they just had a rumble of sorts locally. So PWX is another one to watch if you're ever able to pay attention to it. But yeah, I've just been keeping track of a bunch of other feds outside of WWE.
Now, of course, with New Japan, I mean, I could talk about that all day, but the Golden Lovers, what are your thoughts? And just go. Go from there. I'm going to just let you.
Oh, I just clutched my imaginary pearl. I can't say enough good things about it. Like, my heart is just so warm and just so happy that the Golden Lovers have reunited, because Kenny Omega has been my favorite wrestler for the past 4 years, and I just seeing him back with Kota Ibushi and in this perfect storyline, like, against the Bullet Club, it's just, oh, I can't say enough good things about it. It makes me so happy. But yeah, the Golden Lovers just highlight of my month, honestly.
Now, one of the things I love about it is, and I'm going to try to retweet it again this afternoon. I tweeted out a article where they talked about the entire history and how they've been so open. And it was also since Kenny Omega retweeted it, a soft coming out of sorts, because the author of the article mentioned that it's been rumored that Kenny was bisexual and that Kota was gay, but it's never really been founded. And so for Kenny to retweet that, knowing that's what is in there, was very striking to me, and also something that made me think about this. And I want to do this as a deep dive down the road, which I'll more than happy to invite you. Could that be one of the things that kind of keeps him away from WWE? Because if
no,
you recall, I don't know
not.
If you ever.
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, you don't think so? Oh, no.
No.
I was going to say, because I remember the story of Jimmy Jacobs. He did talk as Jericho, and he talked about how Vince McMahon would always make fun of his nail polish and the way he walked and just didn't think he was a man.
Mm-hmm.
And for his boss, and he was a guy at the time making some of the best storylines. He was responsible for the Kevin Owens, Chris Jericho best friend story. He's doing all sorts of things with Seth Rollins. And, you know, Vince McMahon's making fun of him, walking limp-wristed behind him and making all these, you know, comments on planes. And you have a guy in Kenny Omega who's just his own spirit. And why would you want to subject yourself to that sort of ridicule for the sake of someone who doesn't get all of who you are? Or maybe, because I don't want to. Hey. I got step folks just loud. I'm going to have to tase them. But yeah, so what do you think about that? Do you think I'm like looking too much into it, or do you think that has legs? What are your thoughts?
Well, I think on the WWE side, it wouldn't keep Kenny Omega from coming to the E, because honestly, behind the scenes, there are a lot of performers who are part of the LGBTQ community. They just aren't out and open. So it's pretty regular and pretty normal backstage. So I don't think that would be a problem if he ever went to the WWE. To me, it's no big deal anymore. And plus, there are so many out wrestlers now that I think is awesome that it's showing diversity and it's showing that wrestling truly is for everybody. So, I mean, I don't think that would hinder him at all. And I think Vince only kind of picks on the people that he knows he can get to. Because, like, for instance, with Darren Young, when he came out, like, he wasn't bullied. And actually, he was pushed to the forefront for their PR campaign and looked at as an example. And just knowing that there are some more people kind of backstage who aren't as open, but they still, you know, live their lives. Just a matter of selection with Vince. But I don't think that his sexuality would have anything to do with it.
Okay. Fair enough. Now, what do you think about the future of Kenny? Do you think at some point he will do it?
Honestly, I could see him kind of being like Sting. Like, if at the very end of his career he wants to, he could. But I think I'm honestly really happy seeing him outside of the biggest company in the world and just making a name for himself and making a career and a legacy for himself that doesn't need a big machine and a 300-day touring schedule. Like, I'm really proud of Kenny Omega and the fact that he and the Young Bucks and honestly the rest of Bullet Club are kind of setting this example for indie wrestlers, saying, hey, you really don't have to do that. Like, you can make money on your own terms and you can still wrestle and do what you want on your own terms. So I could honestly just, you know, doing his own thing for the rest of his career if he wants to.
Awesome. Well, thank you for that. Thanks for my little deviation. I just watched this morning the Honor Rising show and seeing him and Kota, like the genuine joy on his face as they came out together. It was the one thing I don't know. Are you going to WrestleMania this year?
I am. I'll be in New Orleans.
Outstanding. Well, two things. One, I've already bought my ticket to see Friends versus Lovers with Golden Lovers versus the Best Friends that's going to be at WrestleCon. I think that's either Thursday or Friday. But we're obviously going to be more than happy to have you invited. We're doing, as Travis called it, sorry, Cam, I got to give him the right credit. As Cam said, we are the drumline of the Pro Wrestling Torch death. So I'm trying to get everybody together to do like a special deep dive / East Coast cast combo show at a restaurant where we can kind of all chill, hang out, and just talk wrestling and fellowship. And just,
hey,
I'll give you more details
like
as we get it. Yeah,
I would absolutely
I know you're
love
good
that.
People.
That sounds like fun. Yeah. Yeah. For those who don't know,
yeah,
actually,
I didn't
want to
go
last year. So, yeah.
You did. And it was funny because my friends spent most of, because I had a list of people I was trying to meet that I'd talked to for like the last year or 2 years. And like, you were at the top of the list. I had to meet Papa Hales just because after reading his story, I was like, that's too much. And then a couple of other folks who I just bumped into and then just kept bumping into at shows. And they were like, how do you know these people? I was like, listen, first of all, I worked in the tour. Second of all, like, when you can talk to good people, you want to keep talking to good people. So
absolutely,
that's just the way it is. And, you know, they were feeling sad. I was like, well, look, first of all, if y'all weren't being pieces of trash on Twitter, maybe people would talk to you. And that's just a lesson in people skills. Good energy
exactly.
attracts good energy. You know, not every I learned that, you know, 36 years in, I finally figured out not every argument you need to have, die on a hill for. And half of this show
right.
has actually done that for me, too. It's like, I don't need to be on. You're like, I'm never going to do a show that's like 2 hours of why Roman Reigns sucks. I'm going to do 2 hours of Roman's awesome and let's make him better. Because why am I going to talk about that grown man? He ain't worried about me.
Right.
Now, I will say Michael Elgin needs to grow up a little bit. And, like, I've just been saying 2018 needs to be the year we all hold everyone accountable in wrestling because we're putting money into it. And this is the only entertainment medium where there's no accountability.
Absolutely.
Well, let me see. But now I've done yammered on, so I'm going to go a quick break. But before I do that, I want to talk about wine. And since my wife at some point is going to show up to this thing, this is the best time to do it. I'm not the wine shopper in the family. She is. But I know Wink, W-I-N-C, is the best in terms of choices because when she goes on Wink, she knows she can deal with her own personal concierge of sorts. That person's going to go through and find all the different tastes and all the different fun things that one can do as far as the wonderful world of wines. Wink is a delightful place. If you go online, it's Wink, like the action with a C, W-I-N-C. Just a really neat company. And if you want to go to wink.com/PWPorch right now, you can take part and all the fun stuff we have going on because the brands are matched to you, ship right to your door for just $13 a bottle. Just fill out the personal palate quiz. They'll send the selected wines curated to your taste. The more wines you rate, the more personalized your monthly selections. Discover great wine today. Try wink.com/PWTour to get $20 off your first shipment. That's TryWinc.com/PWTour for $20 off. TryWinc.com/PWTour. And when I come back, we're going to hit you with some calls and dive deep into what you want to chat about here on The Deep Talks.
Don't just listen to PW Torch's brand of wrestling coverage. Read it, too, every day at pwtorch.com. Join me Monday nights for my live coverage of Raw, Tuesday nights for my live coverage of SmackDown, Sunday nights for my live coverage of WWE pay-per-views, and keep up on the news and read exclusive editorials and special features every day at pwtorch.com.
Welcome back to the Deep Dive with Rich Fan. I am, of course, Rich Fan. Joining me this week by Bree. We are chatting with you guys about wrestling, and at this point in the game, I think it's time for us to bring on a caller. So I'm going to bring on Mr. 862. State your name, where you're calling from, and welcome to the Deep Dive.
It's Kylan. Rich, how are you and Bree?
Hello. How are you?
I'm very well. Nice to talk to you guys.
Same here.
So what are you bringing to the table this week, my man? I know you did your homework. Like I said, Kylan always tries to call in for the homework, and I told him this week it's going to be a potpourri. Bree's going to be talking about what she likes, what she doesn't like in wrestling, and just fire away.
Congratulations to your hometown boy, Jeff Jarrett, on going into the Hall of Fame. With that being said, Bree, do you expect him to mention the reason why he left in his Hall of Fame speech, or perhaps in a subsequent 24 special, as the reason why he left is quite controversial, being that he was allegedly owed either $150,000 or $250,000 plus stock options.
I think that he'll briefly address it in his Hall of Fame speech, similar to what Kurt Angle and Goldberg did. But I think he'll definitely get a documentary to where his career is explored more in depth. And that way we'll see the full story if that does come along. But I think just for his Hall of Fame speech, I don't think it'll be long or exaggerated. I think it'll be pretty brief and just like a small tip to what happened, and he'll probably keep it moving.
That's what I figured, Bree. My next question is, plain and simple, do we see Bobby Lashley show up at the Smoothie King Center for the Raw after WrestleMania? Yes or no? Why or why not in either case?
The Smoothie King Center. I forgot that was the name of the arena. Actually, anything can happen, but I don't think we'll see him, only because there needs to be a definite storyline or spot for him. But hey, like I said, anything can happen. So just as long as they can fit him in. But for in the present day, I can't see it.
Wow, that's kind of surprising that you wouldn't see that, but you never know. And my final question is, does Brock Lesnar re-sign after WrestleMania? Why or why not?
I think Brock Lesnar is probably going to re-sign only because it's an easy payday. As simple as that.
That certainly makes sense. Well, it was a pleasure talking to you, Bree, and I'll hand the mic back over to you.
Same here. You have a great evening.
I certainly will.
All right, so that was Kylan in New Jersey. Thank you, as always, for your questions. So do you think there's going to be some crossover with the TNA guys over the next few years? I mean, we already are going to be seeing the influx of, like, Rockstar Spud. At some point, we're going to see EC3. And, of course, you know, there's the rumors with Lashley. Do you see any of those three guys having a better or worse career once they return or arrive in the WWE?
I think EC3 will. I don't know if Lashley could, unless they like shoot him to the top and make him a champion, because I don't want him to get the treatment that Shelton Benjamin is getting now. Like, I think Shelton Benjamin deserves better, and he and Bobby Lashley have kind of been in that interchangeable spot when they were together in the company. So I don't really see it for Bobby Lashley. Honestly, I think he would make a phenomenal trainer behind the scenes. Like, I could see him working at the Performance Center and being a coach instead of being another on-screen personality.
Now, what about I'm trying to think of the timeline, but do you think from a money standpoint, letting Rock go free and then putting that money towards some of those TNA guys might be better or a worse decision for them in the long run?
That is a very good question. In the long run, I think it would be better to invest in the other talent as a whole. The money that they're giving to Brock, at the same time, we still know that Brock sells tickets, even though we only know that he's only appearing for, what, 5 or 6 times a year. So I mean, and kind of same with Taker. The same argument can be made there. Like, he appears once, and all that money could go to quite a few other people. So I think in the long run, it would benefit for other talent, but we know that they're going to make their money back even if they continue to invest in Brock. Wrestling's such a weird business.
Sorry, I accidentally muted myself while we were doing tickets. Messed the whole thing up.
That's okay.
Because, you know, we had a show that started at 6, and 6:30 everybody show up just because they want to mess with me. But it is what it is. We got one caller coming in for us. 478, why don't you take your name and where you're calling from?
Darrell from Georgia. How y'all doing today?
Doing well. How are you?
Doing quite well, quite well. My first question to you guys would be on the co-branded pay-per-views that they just started and no longer having them separated. How do y'all feel about it, and do y'all feel that that will stagger the growth of any new superstar who's trying to be top tier or close to the main event?
Oh, boy. See, this is when technology's getting in the way, because Bluetooth kicked in, and now I can't have hear nothing. They all hear people getting yelled at because the show's starting, they're late. There we go. Yeah, I mean, come on, folks. Everybody going on CP time. We got a step show. They just walk.
Oh,
I was trying to get this started and finish by... Oh, I'm sorry, Bree. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to ask you, you want to go ahead and answer Darrell's question first, or...
Oh, sure. Darrell, could you give it again? Because I didn't hear it, because it went to Bluetooth, and my Bluetooth was in my pocket.
Okay, no problem.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Okay, my question was the co-branded pay-per-views, since they're doing away with splitting the pay-per-views. How do y'all feel about it, and do you feel that this will stagger people who are trying to grab the brass ring and maybe get up in that top 7 or to the top of the card?
Oh, okay. So for me, I think the way the brand split is going was fine to a point. The issue was going to be dealing with the future of, like, how are you going to push those guys like you're mentioning? Because I think a show that's going to have AJ Styles and Roman Reigns and everyone else in the top part of the card is going to be great. I think the downside is we're going to miss some of those intermediate matches where guys can kind of climb up that ladder. And also, to be honest, it's going to make the roster more bloated than you would need it to be, because you'll see, hey, Dolph Ziggler isn't on every card. So why do we need this guy? Why do we re-up him for 4 years? Hey, why do we have Ty Dillinger when you can bring Drew McIntyre in and he'll be a better bang for your buck? So I'm more worried for the talent, because that could be a cost-cutting measure as they go forward.
I completely agree. I'm a huge proponent of, when the brand split first happened in the 2000s, the way that they completely kept them separate, unless it was Royal Rumble, WrestleMania, or of course the Big Four. So I like it that way, because that way it gives the storyline time to breathe and time to grow, and it gives everyone their own separate time. And with these combined pay-per-views, it's either going to, like Rich said, it's going to make the roster bloated, or it's really going to cut out some time that a smaller storyline on SmackDown could use, but another storyline on Raw is getting. So it doesn't even out to me. And also that third hour on Raw weekly and SmackDown being 2 hours, it kind of makes it a little bit unfair, because on TV they get more time for the storylines to flourish. And then just adding or combining the pay-per-views, I mean, it doesn't really make sense to me. I get it for monetary reasons, but for storyline's sake, I don't like it.
So what else do you have, sir, Darrell?
Okay. Yeah, I agree with you guys all on those statements, too. I feel like that was hard. How they done this split so far has been bad completely. because how they used the superstars and still didn't get everything out that they could. But moving forward, Honor Rising happened today, late last night, early this morning. The Young Bucks moving up to the heavyweights. How do y'all feel about that? And do you feel like that will add something different to them since they've been juniors for a long time so far now, and especially in New Japan?
I think the Young Bucks moving up to the heavyweights really wouldn't change anything. It wouldn't change their dynamic, but I think it would be good for them. I wouldn't say that they'll be taken more seriously. I think they'll be given harder matchups. And I'm looking forward to it, honestly.
All right. So the answer is, we talked about it on Twitter, but I'm definitely down with the Young Bucks and Heavies, mainly because I think it's a good opportunity for them to develop, not necessarily with competition, mind you, in terms of, like, they're not going to get better at wrestling War Machine than they would anyone else, but I think them as heavies gives them a little bit more legitimacy, and then as they get older, they're going to get bigger anyway. So you can't be the boyish guys on the indie scene when you're, like, 34.
I get that. I hope that it adds to them. It makes them evolve into a different tag team than they was before, because in the past few years, to me, they've been doing the same thing for so long that I feel like this could add a new freshness to them and keep them at the top of the game if they play it right. Those are my two questions, so I'm going to keep listening on, and thank you for answering.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Darrell. And I think the big issue with it is just representation. You need more guys who are willing to put themselves out there. And my question for you, Bree, when it comes to the Young Bucks, do you think that act can work in the WWE, or is it something that they're going to have to kind of curtail when they get to the main roster, if they ever get there?
I think it could work just with minor adjustments. Again, to compare them to someone, to another tag team that left New Japan and came to WWE, the club, we thought that it could work, but it's been somewhat neutered. So just with some adjustments, I think it could do, it has the potential to do well. Again, like I said, with Kenny Omega, I really don't see the Bucks ever coming to WWE.
I'm sorry, y'all. I got ticket drama I had to take care of while you were awesomely answering the Young Bucks question. People asking for receipts at a cash-only situation. I mean, see, this is what I can see how wrestling promoters lose their mind, because you got tickets being sold, however many tickets you got to sell to make good, and everybody wants free tickets. That's going to be my goal. I want to bring on one of those indie dudes who can talk about how many people try to get comped going to a show they run, because this is a pain in the butt right here.
Then everyone wants a receipt for everything. Even steps for tickets that they may be getting comped for.
You're right. That's the thing. How do you get tickets for? How do you get a receipt for a comp ticket? My brain hurts. Like, I don't even know how that works. Like,
common sense is that's how.
Oh, it is. It is just, it's a talent. It is a talent. So I'm going to give us one more break, and then when we come back, we'll do some final thoughts, and we'll probably end it a little early so people don't go chasing my student around with this money. And you guys sit tight here on The Deep Dive.
Support what we do here at the PW Torch Livecast when you shop Amazon. Simply go to pwtorch.com/Amazon. We've simplified the page. There's a big Amazon logo. You click on it. It takes you right to Amazon's homepage. But because of that small detour, we get credit for your visit, and we get a commission on anything you buy on that shopping trip. That's pwtorch.com/Amazon. Thank you very much for your support.
All right. Welcome back to the Deep Dive with Rich and Bree. I am, of course, Rich. She is, of course, Bree. And we're chatting with you guys about the week, the month, the year so far that it has been in wrestling. And before we get out of here, I do want to talk a little bit about some fun stuff. So you mentioned WrestleMania. What shows are you thinking that you're going to watch outside of the WWE bubble, and why should people go to those shows?
Well, WrestleMania weekend, of course, is Mecca for wrestling fans.
Mm-hmm.
And my absolute favorite show from last year that I'm so glad is returning this year is Joey Janela's Spring Break.
Yes.
It was such a blast last year. So in New Orleans, I know it's going to be amped up 100%. So I am so stoked about that show.
I'm also going to that one. And last year, when they made the announcement that it was going to be winner for the Battle Royal, it's like over the top, pinfall, or death. Like, I lost my mind.
Oh, that show was such a good time. And, of course, the ROH shows, I honestly had a hard time deciding, am I going to go to NXT or am I going to go to ROH? And I'm kind of still debating because I have options, but I'm really leaning towards ROH because of the Golden Lovers. So I don't know. There's just so much going on that weekend. But if anyone gets the chance to go, just go to experience the madness of it. Because it feels like you're surrounded by your community that you're not normally surrounded by physically. So it's really cool just to see people walking down the street wearing a shirt that you recognize that you wouldn't otherwise recognize, like, in your hometown. So I'm just excited about the experience as a whole. And I get to drag my spouse, because he's not a huge wrestling fan. So I get to kind of expose him to the world of wrestling piece by piece with it, and kind of get him into the madness of it. So it's going to be fun.
Yeah, I'm going. I made that decision. Like, I knew it was going to be NXT. Yeah. And so because of that, I'm not going to be able to go to Ring of Honor. And that's why I was really happy that the Golden Lovers decided to come to WrestleCon, because that way I could at least see them. My one fear, my big fear, is when I go to the Progress shows, if one of the Rev Pro or one of the other people have Minoru Suzuki there, I might shed some tears, because I have yet to see him wrestle in the United States. And I need to meet that man, and just, it has to happen, because that's my dude. Him, Tana, and at some point, if I can meet Yano, that'll be my Mount Rushmore of ridiculousness.
And that would be
now,
awesome.
Suzuki. I'm actually going to do a dive on Suzuki. I think it's going to be like right before Mania, because I was going to do it a few weeks ago, but then when everything kicked off with Elgin and that stuff, and I want to give you time to talk about that if you're so inclined as well, I wanted to focus on kind of how everyone was playing the blind, deaf, and dumb game to real issues. But then, you know, a few weeks ago or a few months ago, when we had to deal with Sexy Star shooting on a wrestler, you know, it became this big issue. So I need both of them to be issues. Like, it's just as dangerous for you to hide a sexual predator as it is for you to abuse the body of someone in the ring in a real contest. So that was something I kind of dealt with, you know. But before we get to that, I do want to make sure my man Boris gets his time. So, Boris?
Well, hey. Boris from Chicago. I'm going to make it quick, because I know you want to get early or something. What do you think about a possible CM Punk return in Chicago and a possible at All In? All In.
Ooh. We hadn't talked about that. What do you think?
I don't think it's going to happen. I think Punk is done. Love him. You know, he did what he did for, you know, the amount of time that he could, but I don't think he's coming back. Like, and I've accepted it as grief, and you know, I've moved into my acceptance phase. But if I do hear that before Cult of Personality, I will take off my wig and throw it. Like, you know,
oh,
that
Lord.
Will be the gag of the year.
I
accepted that.
I'm just in reference because you watched that movie. Because you watched Black Panther. Because I'm still on the Black Panther high. You know,
not yet. I'm actually going to see it tonight. I have a deal with my husband, and we have to see all Marvel and DC movies together because we are both nerds. And we couldn't see it last week because we were traveling. So we made the deal, like, as soon as we get back and we're able to see it, we're going to see it. Mm-hmm. We're seeing it tonight.
One more thing, because you just brought something to my mind. Can you imagine if they do a marathon for the Avengers, the next Avengers, that's on May 18th, a marathon of all the cinematic universe movies leading up to that? I'm not down for that. I've heard some people do some marathons, but oof,
yeah,
that is a lot.
Yeah, that's a lot. And I'm sure a theater will definitely do it because people will buy it, but that's too many movies for me. Like, I own them at home, so yeah, I'm good.
and just with wrestling, the build to this has been so great. You know, getting to Thanos, like with wrestling, we want to build up to that main event, to those two, superstars. Marvel has done an excellent job building the Thanos. And then, we're here. I remember when the first movie came out and we was looking ahead and people just saying, if I could just live to do this, if I'm not going outside and stuff like that. And now we're finally here, a few months away, May 18th, the biggest fight of all time, part one, because it's too funny. But that's all I have. And what do you guys think about Marvel doing a better deal to their main event than wrestling doing right now?
Well, I think one of the big issues with it, and always welcome, Boris, call next week or whenever you like. The big thing with Marvel is, like, I've talked about this with Bruce. They're missing the boat right now with WWE because they're never ahead of the curve. They're usually, like, on top of the curve and maybe piggyback in the curve, if that's a better phrase. And so my big thing is I'm running into issues with Luke Cage. Like, Luke Cage's character is essentially when I see Titus O'Neil. But they don't treat Titus O'Neil like Luke Cage. They treat him like the henchman number 7. And with, Apollo Crews, he really could become their Black Panther. Or Ricochet. There's an opportunity. I think Ricochet more so to be that cool dude that kind of like just transcends. So I feel like there needs to be something that they give the attention and pay it in the manner that they deserve. Heck, I'd be happy if the New Day all branched out and won titles outside of the tag championship. What do you think?
Oh, that would be perfect. I'm completely here for Big E as champ, like a solo champ. He's a breakout star. So if he had a solo run, but they were still a faction, I would be completely happy. Like, it honestly needs to happen because the pancake thing is not working for me right now. So, like, just make Big E a solo star. Let Kofi and Xavier do their own thing. Or, hey, let all three of them be solo stars within the faction and run with it. Why not?
The biggest thing I think that's holding them back is just the creativity, because I think you can do that. It's kind of like what they did with the Shield. Just do it with the New Day. Like, hey, we're going to go do this. You go do this. We'll handle our business. Excellent. So now before we get out of here, what is one thing you want to talk about next time you're on that I can tell the fine folks listening is something that Bree's going to have as like her thing? Because I don't want to bring you on just for women's wrestling. I don't want to bring you on just to talk about the black folk. I want to bring you on to talk about what you were like talking about.
Does it have to be wrestling related?
Nope. Deep dive is universal. We're going to be doing I think mid-March, I'm going to be doing, one of my best friends decided he wants to subject himself to all of the Marine movies and then report back how that experience felt. So that's tangentially related to wrestling. We can deep dive into whatever you like.
Well, I have been obsessed for the past 2 years on a comic book series called Wicked and the Design, and it's on Image Comics.
Oh, yes.
And I have shirts, stickers, like everything Wicked and Design. And they're about to start their final story arc in March. So I'm not ready to let go. I'm not in the grieving process of that yet. But I'm preparing for the end of the story arc for the Wicked and Divine. And that's been my absolute favorite story and comic across the board. So that could be something we could deep dive into.
Oh, yeah. That's definitely something. I'm going to talk to Cam because that might be something I do as a VIP after show so we can go as long as we need to. And then we can have a person that knows the series, like me, a person that's an expert in the series that's read it all because I stopped at a certain point just because I ran out of money. And then someone like Travis or Cam who have no backstory on it so they can kind of like experience it as we chat about it.
Okay, cool. Cool.
Yeah, the best thing about this job is Wade's like, do what you want to do, have fun. So I do what I want to do and I have fun, even when I'm in the middle of my day job.
It's all good. Maybe I can gift the books that I have because I've caught up completely on the series. So if I can gift them to you, I'll find a way to gift them.
Oh, definitely. We'll chat offline about that because, yeah, I think I have the first – because it's actually like a circle because I loaned to Travis the first three books. He didn't like it, and so he sent it back to me, and I never finished anything past that because, again, I was like out of money, got to deal with it. But before we get out of here, Brie, how can we reach you? What's your contact info and what anything you want to tell the folks?
Well, you can – follow me on my social media. Just She's So Offbeat, similar to Double J. I'm going to spell it out like She SSSSSBEAT. And you can see me and all my random quips. I talk about everything from wrestling to comics to RuPaul's Drag Race, which I could yell about too. So if you just want to follow me for some good randomness, you can find me at She's So Offbeat.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, and you're always welcome. Anytime you have time, I will love having you on. And at some point, I'm going to probably do the experiment like I did last week with Ciara and our guest that called in at the end. And I'm just going to shut up, and it's going to be – you run the show, and I'll just be your switchboard operator as y'all have a discussion. Because I think the more we have varied voices, the better the chorus sounds. If I can borrow a musical analogy, since I'm right outside the dance hall and I hear people cheering.
Well, thank you so much for having me on. It's always such a pleasure to join, and I really appreciate you asking me to be a guest.
Oh, well, I appreciate that, and I'm looking forward to seeing you at Mania, seeing Yoshigo at Mania, if he's going to be there, and, you know, my wife would come, but she has midterms for law school, so I get to roll by myself and not worry about sharing the bed, so that's a plus. That's real, Sarah, that's real. One of my students here is laughing, he's like, you get to a point where you're just like, I'm at a hotel and I got a free bed, life is good. But you have a wonderful rest of your weekend, and thank you. All right, guys, that was – oh, no, I hit the wrong button. Go back, Brie. I'm sorry. My bad.
Oh,
you're back.
No, I was just saying thank you again.
Oh, okay. I was like, oh, God, what have I done? All right, have a great weekend. All right, y'all, that's it for tonight. I got to take care of my day job, but as always, dive into something new, challenge yourself. I'm going to send you some information on VIP, and next week I will talk to you again. Keep diving.
PW Torch Livecast listeners, I invite you to get even more of what the Torch offers by becoming a PW Torch VIP member. Not only do you get ad-free access to our website, the mobile site, and the desktop site, and access to about 30 years of our archives, including over 1,500 back issues and thousands upon thousands of hours of our audio shows going back to 2004, plus tons of retro radio shows from the 1990s. But you also get over 15 VIP exclusive podcasts per week, in addition to ad-free editions of these PW Torch livecasts throughout the week. So we take the ads out of the PW Torch livecast for VIP members and then give you over 15 other podcasts per week, including what started it all, the Bruce Mitchell Audio Show. I host that with Bruce every weekend, and we spend a couple hours talking about the biggest stories of professional wrestling and wrestling history. It's one of the longest-running weekly pro wrestling podcasts on any subject, and it's one of the main reasons people go VIP and stay VIP. Another is The Fix with Todd Martin. I host that every midweek with Todd, and we get Todd's expertise and opinions every midweek on current events in professional wrestling, not just WWE, but all promotions worldwide, including New Japan. Plus, we end every show with some expert MMA talk from the LA Times columnist and Sure Talk contributor, Todd Martin. And there's so much more. The Every Single Day Weight Cover Hotline with news updates every single day, Monday through Friday. And every Saturday and Sunday, I do the SE Editor format of the Weight Cover Hotline, where I answer VIP member questions in depth. And there's so much more. There's the Wayback Playback with Pat McNeil and Jim Valley, Wrestling Audio Community with Sean Radican, the WWE Future Pass Show with scouting reports on prospects and a look back at the indie career of current stars, the PW Torch East Coast Cast Extended VIP Edition, the retro radio shows. Every Thursday, a new retro radio show from the 90s drops, from the early 90s or the Attitude Era. And last but not least, my in-depth Raw and SmackDown reports. You can get a full chronological rundown of every episode of Raw and SmackDown with my analysis of the show in depth every Monday night and Tuesday night. So check out details at pwtorch.com/govip. We give you a lot here at the livecast, but there is so much more. The vast majority of our work is for our VIP members, and you can become one today. Go check out details on a subscription at pwtorch.com/govip.
Yeah.